أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين الذين استجابوا لله والرسول من بعد ما أصابهم القرح للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل إن آيات
That's what it says. The translation of these verses of the Holy Quran is, Think not of those who have been slain in the cause of Allah as dead. Nay, they are living in the presence of their Lord and are granted gifts from Him. Jubilant because of that which Allah has given them of His bounty and rejoicing for those who have not yet joined them from behind them. Because on them shall come no fear, nor shall they grieve. They rejoice at the favor of Allah and His bounty, and at the fact that Allah suffers not the reward of the believers to be lost. As to those who answered the call of Allah and the Messenger after they had received an injury, such of them as do good and act righteously shall have a great reward.
That
those to whom men said, people have mustered against you, therefore fear them. But this only increased their faith. And they said, sufficient for us is Allah, and an excellent guardian is He. Huzoor says that in particular in Pakistan, and also those that are influenced by them in some other countries, the mullah and the government believe that by forming legislation against the Ahmadis, by depriving them of their civic rights, by usurping their every human right, by making them targets of terrorism, by giving everyone a license to kill Ahmadis freely, they believe they can eliminate Ahmadiyyat. However, this is their mistake. For Ahmadiyyat is that tree that was planted by God the Exalted. No human endeavor or power can eradicate it. And Allah the Almighty had given the glad tidings regarding the flourishing of Ahmadiyyat. In one revelation to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, it states, Bushra laka Ahmadi, Anta Muradi, Wama'i, Gharastu laka Kudrati Biyadi. That, O my Ahmad, good news to thee, thou art my purpose and are with me. I have planted the tree of thy honor with my own hand. Thus there may exist human endeavors to eliminate Ahmadiyyat, and these will continue to exist. However, Jamaat Ahmadiyya can never be destroyed as a result of these human endeavors. At the time of this revelation to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace, there were but a few people who had the honor of taking his bayt, of pledging allegiance to him. Today, we witness the promise of Allah the Almighty fulfilled in a most spectacular and glorious manner. For Jamaat Ahmadiyya has spread to 200 countries of the world. Such Jamaats or communities of sincere and righteous people have formed, which astonishes one who observes them. Is it possible that the progress of the Jamaat from that early period until today, despite the repeated and constant efforts of the oppositions, which includes opposition from governments, could all of this progress have occurred through human endeavors? This alone should be sufficient proof for the truthfulness of Ahmadiyyat. That is, if one possesses wisdom and is not blinded with prejudice. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also spoken on this issue. He says some people come forward and they say that Allah the Almighty has informed us through dreams, or we have received a revelation, that Mirza Sahib is a liar. In fact, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has even given the example of people of other religions who claim that Allah the Almighty has informed us that our religion is true and Islam, God forbid, is false. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says further, yet there are numerous other people who have taken the bayt, the pledge of allegiance, and they testify that Allah the Almighty has told us, Allah the Almighty has guided us, that the claim of this person to be the Messiah and the Mahdi is truthful. In fact, today there are numerous people who take the bear the pledge of allegiance through the guidance they receive through dreams. We bear witness to this ourselves. I have related countless accounts in this regard. There may be many people sitting before me right here who Allah the Almighty has guided through dreams. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has elucidated that there cannot be numerous gods who tell one person one thing and another person something completely different, or that he is guiding people in contradictory ways. There is a measure and a standard for this. If somebody desires to test this, he should do so using this one standard alone. And the promised Messiah says, I will explain what this standard and measure is. That look and observe what the act of Allah the Almighty is. Rasul says that one person sees a dream, another person says he sees a dream, but look at how Allah acts. So the promised Messiah says, when you reflect on this, then the progress of the Jama'at clearly demonstrates that the practical testimony of Allah the Almighty is with the Jama'at. Today, the unity of Jamaat Ahmadiyya as one at the hand of Khilafat is an immense practical testimony of Allah the Supreme. Completely selflessly sacrificing their life, time and wealth, which even outsiders acknowledge and admit, is all of this not the practical testimony of Allah the Almighty for them? Who strengthened the heart and united them in one place as one. Despite continuing to endure the persecution of this world, they are inclined towards these sacrifices. Therefore, the strength of the Jama'at, the spreading of the Jama'at, and the progress of the Jama'at cannot be hindered through the efforts of the opposition. Every life that is given for the sake of Ahmadiyya, for the sake of Kalima Tayyiba, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, for the sake of ardent love for the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for the sake of becoming God and God's servant alone. Every such life loudly proclaims and pronounces that your schemes, your endeavors, and your cruelties and oppression cannot prove to be obstacles for the progress of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. In the history of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, from the martyrdoms of Maulvi Abdul Rahman Khan Sahib Shaheed and Sahib Zada Abdul Ladif Sahib Shaheed, it started the beginnings of offering sacrifice of life. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said regarding the martyrdom of Sahib Zada Sahib, the late martyr has given my Jamaat or my community. The late Shaheed or martyr has given my community an example or a model with his death, and in fact, my Jamaat was in need of a great example or model. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says further, in continuation of the same topic, says, thousands upon thousands of thanks be to Allah the Exalted, that there are such members amongst the members of the Jamaat who with sincerity of heart have believed and have adopted this manner truthfully and are ready to bear every pain in this cause. However, the kind of model which this gallant person, that is Sahib Zada, has demonstrated, are as yet unseen in the Jamaat. May Allah the Exalted teach that faith to everyone and grant that steadfastness of which this late martyr has presented as a model. Allah the Exalted accepted this prayer of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, mentioned in the latter sentence, and granted steadfastness to many a people through which they offered their lives for the cause. The Ahmadis of Pakistan most of all continued that sequence of martyrdoms from the first martyrs, and hundreds have offered their lives for the sake of the cause. Every martyr has displayed warmth of the faith and also steadfastness. Every martyr of Ahmadiyyat has his own splendor and glory with which they offer their life. These include the martyrs of Indonesia, the martyrs of India, and the martyrs of other countries also. However, some become prominent.
Just
1974, 30 to 35 Ahmadis were martyred in the disorder and riots against Jamaat Ahmadiyya. However, some were martyred in a manner in which they were tortured again and again until finally they were martyred. Fathers and sons were martyred. Before a father, a son would be martyred, and right before a son, a father would be told that he should detract from Ahmadiyyat and would be tortured for this reason. And they would not detract. All of this was not carried out by just general people. Rather, the police would stand by watching all of this. In Indonesia, in the public presence of the police, Ahmadis were made the targets of terrorism under the observance of the police and also government officials. Ahmadis were tortured again and again and martyred. However, those who safeguarded their faith, those who were the embodiment of steadfastness, accepted the wounds on every part and every inch of their body, yet they did not let their faith go to waste. Thus, whether it is the law of Pakistan or the law of Indonesia or the law of any other country, Ahmadis' lives can be taken away. However, their loyalty and fidelity cannot be snatched from them. Now I have heard that under a new law in Malaysia that is being formed, in fact it has already been implemented as a new law, this is what is surfacing. They too can try this law out. However, they should be mindful that when Allah the Almighty's decree sets into motion, then it will be difficult to square the account. And at such a time, no mullah and no law will come forward to save them. Rather, these so-called ulama or Muslim clerics, who are trying their utmost to bring into disrepute and to defame the name of the mercy of all of mankind, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will first and foremost be placed in the enclosure of the criminals, whereas the faith, patience and steadfastness of the Ahmadis will shine with glory and splendor. Therefore, Ahmadis are not worried about this point because they are aware that ultimately they will gain triumph and victory. People do offer sacrifices and they are offering these sacrifices. However, the objective of their sacrifices is to attain the pleasure of God the Exalted. The sacrifices being given by Ahmadis that they have given in the past, they are giving now and will continue to give for times to come. These are not without purpose and these are not ordinary sacrifices. As I stated, this persecution and this brutality is most of all meted out in Pakistan against Ahmadis. Government officials can continue to say what they want. However, it is under the government officials that terrorism and brutality against Ahmadis continues even today. The terrorism and savagery against the Ahmadis is making them a target of brutality even today. A few days ago, police officers in Rabwa, which included the in charge of the Rabwa police station and the assistant, and according to a report, even higher officials and these officers were involved, who all imprisoned an extremely sincere and dedicated Ahmadi for around 1 month without registering any case against him. They took him to an unknown location and for approximately 8 to 10 days inflicted him with incredibly severe torture. As a result of this sincere and devout Ahmadi, whose name was Abdul Quddus, displaying great steadfastness and endurance, bearing phenomenal levels of torture, returned to his Lord. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He obtained a rank of martyrdom. The detail of this incident is as follows, that in the area of Nusrat Abad in Rabwa, a resident, Ahmed Yusuf, who was a seller of stamp paper, he was murdered on 4th or 5th October in the middle of the night. On the instigation of the murdered son, for a number of months, the police arrested different people at various occasions on the suspicion of murder. Ultimately, all of these suspected people who were arrested were released without charge. In this connection, the claimant, that is the son of the murdered, suggested the name of Master Abdul Quddus Shaheed as a suspect. Subsequently, the police also summoned him or arrested him and took him to the police station. Master Abdul Quddus was the Sadr Jamaat or the president of the Nusrat Abad Jamaat in Rabwa. As I mentioned, he was the president of the local Jamaat. Thus, he was implicated in this case without any reason or proof. The claimant also submitted a written request to the DPO, and thus a formal request had been presented. On 10th February, during the Maghrib prayer, the police came to the mosque and arrested Master Abdul Quddus. Although they arrested Master Abdul Quddus, however, they did not register the formal documents and paperwork that is normally associated with this. When the police were contacted, they would repeatedly state that we are aware that Master Abdul Quddus Sahib is innocent. All the high-ranking officials made the same statement that the matter would be cleared quickly, we are obligated for certain reasons, and this and that, and this is why we had to take him away. During this time on 17th March, Master Abdul Quddus Sahib was transferred by the police from the Rabwa police station to an unknown location. Master Abdul Quddus Sahib was completely unaware of where he had been taken. Approximately 10 days after he had been taken away on 26 March, the police brought him back to the Rabwa police station and they phoned one of the friends of Master Sahib and said, come and collect your friend. His friend then went to the station and Master Sahib said, take me away from here. Upon this, the police made that friend sign a blank paper that he had taken away Master Sahib, and thus Master Sahib was handed over to the friend. Because Master Abdul Quddus Sahib was not in good health, his friend immediately took him away to the hospital. It subsequently transpired that in the first 2-3 days when the police took Master Sahib away, they inflicted him to extreme torture, due to which his health deteriorated. He had blood in his stools, he was also vomiting blood, and also his kidneys were adversely affected. Master Sahib informed during a conversation, at the time, although he was in consciousness, however, he was suffering from severe internal injuries. He informed that in the darkness of the night, some police officials took him away to a location that was a 5 or 6 hour drive. Azur says that because there are dirt roads there, even if the distance is shorter, it seems longer. So he says that he took him to an unknown location which was completely deserted. He was inflicted to severe and extreme torture. The police officials kept on saying, whilst beating and torturing him, that name any office holder of the Jamaat who is involved in this murder. You are an office holder. Thus, if you disclose the name of another office holder, we will set you free. They tried to make him sign a piece of paper. The police officials suggested some name of some Naziran, some directors, and also some other office holders. Master Sahib did not sign. Whilst the police were inflicting torture and brutality against Master Sahib, they would say that this is the first time that we had got hold of an office holder. In the past, such people would somehow be set free, and then they would continue the torture. Whilst they were torturing Master Sahib, these officials would use utterly profane, inappropriate and abusive language against the Jamaat, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and the Khulafa. As a result of the severe torture, Master Abdul Quddus Sahib's health severely deteriorated. As I stated, he was vomiting blood. The police halted the torture, gave him some medicines and some other treatment, and when his health improved somewhat, the police returned him to the police station and handed him over to his friend. Master Abdul Quddus Sahib was admitted in the Fazl-e Umar Hospital and was continuously given blood infusion. One day before his martyrdom, on 29th March, he once again started vomiting blood after a 1 or 2 day break when he had not been vomiting any blood. His health deteriorated severely once again and his lungs were also adversely affected. Consequently, on 30th March, last Friday, he fell unconscious and in that state he passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He had been shifted to Dahir Heart Institute. Before his death, he had been scheduled to undergo dialysis. However, the torture inflicted by the police resulted in internal injuries. Due to this, he was unable to survive and he obtained the status of martyrdom. Further details of this have been written by his brother-in-law. He would stay with him in hospital, and this is what Quddus Sahib told him, that on 17th March he was taken to a place called Jangar Garodra, which is a place near Rabwa, past Jinyot, where he was tortured in a most inhumane, brutal and savage manner. He writes that Master Abdul Quddus Sahib told him and he adds that everything I am relating with confidence what he has informed me of. He says, on foot with Amjad Bajwa Sahib, we left the police station and on the way we took him to the hospital. At the hospital, he informed them that I have been inflicted with severe torture. So much aggression was meted out against me that it was terrifying. He also informed them that the in charge of the police station and the investigative officer were involved in the torture. From Rabwa, they took him by road to Pindi Bhatia, and from Harsar Sheikh, they took him further on. There was some route through the river that they utilized. As I stated, they took him to Jangar Golotara. He said there, the police official imprisoned me. After a short duration, they removed me from there. There were people sitting in a circle on chairs, including the police officer in charge from Rabwa, the investigative officer, the local police officer in charge, and also the DSP. They were all seated in a circle upon chairs. There was a paper in their hand. They said, "This is your statement, sign it." This statement was against the central offices in Rabwa and also the Sadr Amumi. I responded that this is an incorrect statement, why should I sign it? Upon this statement, it said that such and such people were involved in the murder and instigated it. They said, if you sign this paper, we will set you free. He said, I refuse to sign it. Because, he said, this is not my statement, and nor did the events come to pass in this manner, then how can I do this? They then started threatening me. If you sign this yourself, they said, you will be freed. Otherwise, we will force you to sign it. Master Sahib relates that after refusing twice, two of those who were standing near me, they threw me to the floor and started hitting me. After this, they acted extremely aggressively, brutally, savagely, and tortured me. And they repeated their demands and utilized different means of torture. Azur says he has utilized different words to explain the different techniques of torture he utilized. For example, using a wooden roller, dragging him with a rope, and other means of torture. In any case, they would lie him down and use a wooden roller that is used. It is very large and quite heavy. That would be rolled over the body. In the same way, he would be tied with a rope and dragged. They also forced him to stay awake. As soon as he would fall asleep, he would be awoken and beaten up. There was also there present an infamous villain, robber and vagabond. He was also present with them. There is a police object which is covered in abundance with leather, which was used to hit. And they said if they beat that infamous villain 5 times, they would beat me 25 times. Once his health declined, and in a nearby village, Harsa Sheikh, he was given some injections and also some medicines. When his health returned somewhat, they once again reinstigated the torture. He said the police in charge was also involved, and they would use abusive language. They said, call your seniors from London, from Rabwa, etc. to save you. They would also abuse the holy and saintly people of the Jamaat. He says, I was extremely pained hearing the abuse. I could endure the torture, but not the abusive language against the Jamaat. They would not give me food regularly. He said, I had never seen or heard of such torture ever before. I did not have enough strength to endure the torture. I would pray to Allah the Almighty to give me the strength to bear this brutality. And Allah the Almighty, through His grace, gave me the ability to bear the cruel treatment and torture. Hazur says that the Sadr Umumi wrote to me that I said to Master Qudus that they tortured you so much, they must have incited you to write something. He says that Qudus Sahib responded to him emotionally that they could not make me even write a dot. Thus, this is a tale of one who kept his faith alive and stayed completely firm on the truth. This personification and embodiment of resolve and courage gave up his life, but he did not give a false statement. Allah the Almighty has declared falsehood tantamount to shirk, that is, setting up partners with God. So while this great martyr gave us other lessons, he also gave us one lesson, which is the purpose for the establishment of the Ahmadiyya community, that do not even care for your life in the establishment of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, because falsehood is equal to shirk, setting up partners with God, and we can never carry out shirk. The martyr fulfilled his pledge of allegiance in a most spectacular and excellent manner. If he had succumbed to the torture and given a statement as was desired by the police, then it could have had extremely dangerous implications and consequences for the Jamaat as a whole. Just as in the past, an extremist organization tried to utilize Ghulam Qadir Shaheed as a means. However, here, it is the police that tried to use Qudus Sahib as a means. It is not unlikely that as the senior police officers in the area are expressing their innocence in this matter, that they were possibly bypassed, and through the junior officers, instructions were received from governmental level. Often high officials give direct orders in this way. If during the era of General Ziaul-Haq, he could directly call a local police station in charge, then he could also incur in the same way today. For the provincial government are against us. Now, when a legal process against the perpetrators is being carried out, there is pressure being placed for reconciliation to be adopted. Although in Pakistan, it is the criminals who are in authority. And there is no apparent hope for justice. However, the Jamaat is trying to take action using all possible means within the confines of the law and will continue to do so. Nonetheless, if Qudus Sahib had signed any papers or made any confession in accordance with the desires of the officials, it could have had extremely serious consequences and implications. If there had been a false statement of murder, as I stated, that they desired to arrest central office holders. There could have been restrictions on the central offices. There could have been attempts to bring the claim of the Jamaat to be peaceful into disrepute. There are also many other implications which could have been brought about that would have caused harm to the Jamaat, not only on a national level but also on an international scale. In any case, they tried to concoct some schemes, but Allah the Exalted, through such a sincere person who was extremely gentle of heart in his ordinary life, who had no idea or could never even imagine such torture or brutality, through him Allah shattered their ploys. He stood before their schemes and their falsehood like a resolute and unmovable rock, and did not allow the Jamaat to be harmed. Thus, O Quddus, we pay tribute to you, for you accepted to endure extreme torture, but you did not let the honor of the Jamaat be slighted. By giving your life, you saved the Jamaat from a great tribulation and disorder. Thus, Master Abdul Quddus is no ordinary martyr, but rather even amongst the martyrs, he possesses a high rank. One day, we all have to leave this temporary world. However, fortunate is Master Abdul Quddus Sahib, who has been declared to be living by Allah the Almighty. He has become the recipient of such provisions which is far more excellent and superior than worldly provisions. In terms of the purpose for which he made this sacrifice, he will discover the true glad tiding of this in the hereafter. The lesson that the martyr has left behind for us should always be remembered, that hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, that sufficient for us is Allah, and an excellent guardian is He. Thus, whatever circumstances come to pass, never leave the mantle of God the Exalted. This is the lesson that He left behind for us. Allah the Almighty has said, and the Promised Messiah has explained this in these words, that the people of the world can never harm you if you have a strong connection with God the Exalted. These people who in their presumption abuse Ahmadis, use inappropriate and profane language for the Promised Messiah on whom be peace, injure our sentiments and our feelings, are joyous when we are tortured. Inshallah, a day is soon to come when God will account for each and every single one of them. The martyr has left a message for the Ahmadis in Pakistan in general, and for the Ahmadis of Rabwa in particular, that undoubtedly it is the duty of every Ahmadi to respect the law and the governmental officials. However, there is no need to be afraid of any person, however high ranked an official or police officer he may be. Whatever persecution and cruelty they inflict us with, if an Ahmadi should be afraid of anything, it should only be the fear of one being, and that is the fear of God. The police officials in Pakistan only appear to enforce themselves on those who respect the law. In front of terrorists, in front of the mullah, such people who are going to utilize extremism and carry out disorder, who are going to challenge them, who are going to blow them up with bombs, they are scared witless. Recently, there was a gathering of non-Ahmadi friends who had come from different backgrounds. One person said to me that it is a hallmark of your Jamaat that every single person has taken the Ahd-e-Bayt, the pledge of allegiance. Whatever you say to them, they obey, and they are prepared to act upon. In the context of the changing circumstances in Pakistan, why do you not take any practical steps? I explained to him that we cannot be a part of the political process, Because the law of Pakistan states, in order to come into politics, first declare yourselves as non-Muslims, then become a part of the democratic process where you have the right to vote. And we can never do this, and neither can we ever contemplate it. Secondly, in terms of displaying one's strength or force on the streets, or adopting extremism or terrorism, such ways also we shall not follow. For we are law-abiding citizens. And this is what we have learned by following the Hadi, the guide of this age. This is the correct Islamic teachings. We can never distance ourselves from this. Therefore, the governmental organizations side with those who are extremists or are afraid of those who are extremists, who have the strength on the streets to come out on the streets using force. In the same vein, politicians listen to such people. This is why Ahmadis are deprived of even their due rights. I explained to him that in terms of the Bayat, the Pledge of Allegiance, it is due to it alone that Ahmadis quietly go on sacrificing their life, wealth and properties. They never take the law into their own hands. Nonetheless, inshallah, God willing, a time will come when these very people will be compelled to respect and honor Ahmadis. Although today they are making us targets of cruelty and persecution, they may receive some respite from God the Exalted, but the wrath will descend eventually. Thus submit before God the Almighty alone and seek help from Him, and await for the all-dominant decree of Allah the Almighty. With reference to the matter of respected Abdul Quddus Sahib, some police officers have said that criminal proceedings will be brought against the perpetrators, but on the other side, pressure is being applied against them. May God the Almighty enable the eye of justice to be illuminated. If this does not occur, then at the moment where it is being said that government workers carried out this persecution, but it is limited to them. Government officials and the government have nothing to do with this. This is what they claim when a hue and cry was raised. But if this justice is not carried out, this would mean that the entire government machinery is involved in the state-sponsored terrorism. As I stated, they may receive some time and respite, but Allah the Almighty will eventually grab them. And most certainly, these people will reach their ignoble and terrifying end. They will never succeed in their jealous attempts and desire to destroy the Jamaat. Inshallah, God willing, the Jamaat will continue to progress. The fact that the Jamaat has spread to 200 countries of the world is a result of those who have sacrificed their lives. Thus, as a result of every sacrifice, Ahmadis should become strengthened in this belief even further, that this is drawing our day of victory nearer. The greater the sacrifice, the quicker can we hope and expect of God's grace and blessings. We should always remember this promise of Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran, in which He says, وَلَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Slacken not, nor grieve, and you shall certainly have the upper hand if you are believers. So thus it is our obligation and duty to safeguard our faith. Therefore, every martyrdom, every sacrifice should become a source of our strengthening our faith. Then observe and witness how the blessings of Allah the Almighty shower upon us. Continue to endeavor, utilizing resolve, courage, patience and prayer. Sometimes people write to me that we should do something apart from just praying and displaying patience. I have said this before, I have repeatedly stated this, I have always mentioned this, that our weapons are prayer and patience alone. If every Ahmadi utilizes these weapons properly, then observe how rapidly the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty descend upon us. Even now, Allah the Almighty reaps us with fruits which are far greater than the prayers and efforts that we make.
बस कोई वजह नहीं
Therefore, there is no reason for us to become grieved or frustrated. Although the opposition have terrifying schemes, but Allah the Almighty states, وَلَا تَحْسُنُوا, do not grieve. Inshallah, all the schemes of the enemy will be entirely obliterated. Jealous desires of the enemies will never come to pass to destroy the Jama'at. Indeed, their corners will gradually go on cutting, and they are cutting. And many sincere and righteous people from amongst them will continue to join the Jama'at. Therefore, every sacrifice inclines us and should incline us towards this fact, that in order for us to transform from a minority to a majority, Allah the Almighty has brought about another leap through every sacrifice, and a martyrdom such as Quddus Shaheed becomes a source of hundreds of leaps, and inshallah it will do so. Our reaction is neither one of frustration and nor one of aggression or extremism. We have complete and perfect certainty and belief in the promises Allah the Almighty made to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. In fact, we witnessed them fulfilled. Allah the Almighty has inculcated the Jama'at that along with patience and prayer to go on carrying out their endeavors. It is in such a state that the promise of victory has been made. Thus, who can snatch our destiny from us, which Allah the Almighty has decreed? We should pray that our impatience and our weakness of faith may not distance our destined success from us. It should also be remembered that Jamaat Ahmadiyya has also played a role in the creation of Pakistan, in its development and also in its progress, and has given sacrifices in its way. Today, it is the prayers alone of Ahmadis that are saving Pakistan, and indeed, which can save Pakistan. We will not allow our distress, our sufferings, our tribulations, and our martyrdoms, let those sacrifices of our elders and holy people of the country go to waste. Thus, there is only one remedy to eliminate this cruelty. There is only one means of saving this country, that more than before submit to God Almighty and beg for His grace and blessings. If, along with being victimized, we engage in taqwa, patience, steadfastness, prayer and istighfar more than before, then inshallah, God willing, we will quickly experience scenes of victory and triumph. May Allah the Almighty make it so. And may we soon see cruelty in every form come to an end quickly in Pakistan and in other Muslim countries. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that the appointed ones and the Jama'at of the appointed ones have to face earthquakes and calamities, and they have a fear of destruction, and they have to face many sorts of threats. This indeed is the meaning of Kuzibu, but there is a benefit of such incidents, but it becomes a trial between the weak and the strong, because the weak only step forward in affluence when tribulations occur, they disperse. This is the way of Allah with me, that until a tribulation occurs, a sign will not appear. This is how Allah the Almighty displays His immense love, that He puts them through tribulation. As He says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that in every tribulation and difficulty they are only inclined towards Allah the Almighty. Only those people receive the blessings of Allah the Almighty who adopt steadfastness. Days of happiness seem extremely attractive, but they do not produce any results. Continuing to lead a materialistic and luxurious life, your relationship with God is ultimately broken. The love of Allah is displayed by putting you through tribulations, and in this way He displays His greatness to people. For example, if Khosrows did not decree for the Holy Prophet ﷺ to be arrested, then how would the miracle that he would be killed on the same night come to pass? And if the people of Makkah had not evicted him, then how would that proclamation of Inna Fatahna Laka Fatahum Mubin, that surely we have granted thee clear victory, be fulfilled? Every miracle is linked to tribulation. Allah the Almighty has no link to people who lead lives of negligence and comfort. If you obtain success upon success, then humility does not remain in you at all, whereas this is what pleases God, the Exalted. Thus, it is necessary to produce horrific and dreadful circumstances. Hazur says, may Allah the Almighty go on strengthening our faith and continue bestowing this upon us, and may He quickly display to us scenes of triumph and victory and accept our sacrifice. May Allah the Almighty always continue to elevate the rank of the martyred as well. After the Friday prayers, inshallah, I will also lead the funeral prayer in absentia of him. Briefly, I will also present some details relating to his life. His father's name was Mia Mubarak Ahmed Sahib. He is from Sialkot. The origins of Ahmadiyyat and his family is from his paternal great-grandfather, Mia Ahmad Yar Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala, may Allah be pleased with him, who was from Gujranwala. He took the bed at the hand of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and was a Sahabi, a companion. Similarly, his paternal great-grandmother, Mudarma Mehtab Bibi Sahiba, was also a female companion of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Master Abdul Qudus Sahib Shaheed was born in 1968. He was a born Ahmadi. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he was a Musi. At the time of his martyrdom, he was 43 years old. He had obtained education until the FA qualification and then undertook a PTC course, and then became a teacher as a result. He was married in 1997 with Rubina Qudus Sahiba, daughter of Master Basharat Ahmed Sahib of Gujranwala. As I stated, he was a school teacher by profession, and he had served for almost 20 years in a government school. He would teach also in Darul Shamali in Rabwa. The teachers who worked with him said that he was an extremely hard-working and honest person. Before moving to Nusratabad, he lived in the area of Darul Rahmat Sharqi. In the era of Atfalul Ahmadiyya, he also had the opportunity to give great service to the Jamaat. Since he was in the 5th class, he was serving the Jamaat in some capacity. He served as Muntazim Atfal and then also as Zaim Halqa for almost 10 years in Khudamul Ahmadiyya. In 1994, he moved to Nusratabad and he immediately started working in some Jamaat capacity. He was Zaim Halqa in Nusratabad. And under the Majlis Sayyid, he was in charge of the rowing. He also was a very good swimmer and rower. 2.5 years previously, he was elected as the Sadr Majlis, the president of the local area, and he carried this work out excellently. According to the local people, the martyr was extremely kind and considerate and was someone with great endurance and tolerance. If anybody spoke to him in harsh words, then he would always laugh the matter off. Office holders should always remember this. This is the mannerism every office holder should adopt. In the department of Hifazat in the Markaz, he carried out services for a great period of time. From 2002 until his martyrdom, he was in charge of one section. He was extremely compassionate and kind to all workers. If the workers worked late, he would himself personally arrange for their tea and refreshments, etc. Khudam were extremely happy with him. The martyr was very friendly, very kind, and also humorous. He had a craze for serving humanity. Whenever anyone drowned in the river Chenab, without distinction between an Ahmadi and a non-Ahmadi, he would spend day and night trying to recover the dead body. He would not rest until he found the body. From childhood until his death, he was unable to serve in different capacities in the Jamaat. The martyr was a personification of obedience. He was extremely considerate of being respectful and showing reverence to Jamaat office holders. From his student days, he had great enthusiasm for taking part in sports. He was a good player of kabaddi, hockey, football and rowing, etc. I have noticed that during his duties, because he has also given duties alongside myself, so he had no enthusiasm to come in the forefront or in the public view and carry out his duties for show. Some people, despite being in charge, desire to come in the forefront. He would always stay in the background and put the workers under him in the forefront. His respected mother desired for him to go Jamia, but he was unable to fulfill that desire. The wife of the martyr has related that he was extremely friendly, cordial and kind, one who was compassionate and took care of all of us. He never displayed severity upon us, and despite hardships and difficulties, he always shared in the happiness of his relatives. One day before his martyrdom, he advised his children to be steadfast, to display resolve, and to stay close to Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty enable this to permeate in his generations. In the letter written by his wife to me, she has written that my husband often used to say to me that you will remember me. In other words, he knew something was going to happen to himself. In his last moments, he also advised this, that take care of my mother, take care of my children and my family. They will naturally remember him. But we, the people of Rabwa, should also promise this, that we do not forget those who have bestowed a favor upon us. Most certainly, this is a great favor that he has given to the Jamaat, and the Jamaat never forgets his benefactor, so therefore we shall always remember him. I spoke over the phone with his mother, who is quite elderly, but she displayed great resolve, and there was no hesitation there. MashaAllah, the children also, despite their grief for asking me of my well-being, I also spoke to their wife. She was also greatly patient and steadfast. May Allah the Almighty grant all of them steadfastness and resolve and be their helper and guardian. The parents he leaves behind are elderly. His father lives here in Holland. However, his mother lived there with Gudu Sahib. Similarly, I mentioned his wife already. Then he leaves behind a son who is of 14 years old, Abdul Salam, who is a student of the 8th class. Abdul Basit is 13 years old and is in the 7th class. Abdul Wahab is 5 years old and he studies in class 1. And he leaves behind one daughter, Adiyatul Quddus, who is 10 years old and studies in the 4th class. May Allah the Almighty be the helper and support of all of these children as well. Inshallah, after the Friday prayers, I will lead the funeral prayer in absentia of the martyred.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله